Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
How is your schedule going this morning? Are you keeping up with your expectations for the day? As I'm doing our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, I'm holding in my hand a round tuit. A friend of mine gave me this tuit because he got tired of my saying, one of these days, I'll get around to it. So he finally gave me one. Well, our subject this morning is going to be making wise use of your time. Our text is going to be Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10. Psalm 90 is one of the Psalms that was written by Moses. And I'd like to read Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. When Moses penned these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was giving the average lifespan of his day. Most individuals lived to be 70 years of age. But there were examples when, by reason of strength and good health, they perhaps lived to be 80 years of age. But I want you to notice the Word of God says that we need to make use of our time. The clock of life, the poet said, is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Are you making the wisest use of your time? An executive friend of mine determined to keep the value of his days constantly before him. He had read Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, which declared the days of his years being 70 years. And what he did was that he subtracted the number of years that he had lived from 70. And then he multiplied those years by 365 days. Then he had a descending stack of little papers which he keeps on his desk at all time. Each day he pulls off of his homemade calendar one day at a time, thus keeping before him the number of days that he has left to live, if God should bless him with a full life of 70 years. We're going to be looking at three commands regarding you and time. Command number one, we must recognize the measure of time. Keep the measure of time before you. Moses continues in his writings in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12 by declaring, "So teach us to number our days." The word number means to measure them, to make full use of those days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses prayed to measure his life by days, not by months, not by years, but by days. a preacher friend of mine, was never happy anywhere that he went. Church after church he would go, always dreaming of being somewhere else, in another congregation, in another church. Always the grass seemed to be greener somewhere else. Moses' counsel would be, make the best and bloom where you are, where God has placed you. Some people go running from job to job to job, always looking for something better, and yet in reality, the problem may very well be in their perspective of life. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am, in this to be content. Think of the high school student who is always saying, someday, when I get to college, then I'll apply myself. You know, we're stewards of our time. The Word of God says it's appointed unto stewards that they be found faithful. In Psalm chapter 39, and verse 4, we have the words of the psalmist as he said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. David prayed that God might make him ever more aware of the brevity of life, and how frail and fragile life really is. James put it this way in chapter 4, whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Psalm 89 in verse 47, the psalmist reminded himself, I remember how short my time is. Have you ever considered your life with respect to a clock and its time? If you're 15 years old and you're listening to this broadcast, it's as if it were 8:51 in the morning of time. If you're 20, it's 11:08 a.m. If you're 25, it's 12:25 p.m. If you're 30, it's 1:25 in the afternoon. Are you 35? It's 2:59 p.m. If you're 40, it's 4:16 p.m. If you're 45, it's 5:43 in the afternoon. If you're 50, it's 6:50 in the afternoon. Are you 55? That means it's 8:08 in the evening. Are you 60? It's 11 minutes after 10. If you're 70, it's now approaching midnight. Now, this is not meant to depress anyone, but rather to spur each one of us on towards making the days of our lives as fruitful as possible. This is why it's so important to be goal setters. Whatever phase of life we find ourselves in. Oh, it's sad to see people who oftentimes retire and they never continue to set goals for their lives. You know, the perfect example of goal setting in the latter years of life is exemplified by Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. Caleb was a man who God had greatly used when he was 40 years old, entering into Kadesh Barnea, one of the spies along with Joshua, to spy out the land. And he was 40 years old when Moses gave him that commission. And he believed God and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were able to enter into the land and possess it. And you remember the story, only Joshua and Caleb were those who were allowed to enter into the land. And the others, well, their carcasses fell in the wilderness 20 years and upward. But I think of Caleb's words when he said, in the latter years of his life, when he was 85, when he was 85 years old, beyond Moses' years, as he stated in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, he said, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake me in that day." He had mountains to continue to conquer in service for the Lord. For those of you that are planning on retiring, I have a word of counsel. I knew a lovely couple that lived a meagerly existence in the middle years of their lives, all in view of hoarding their wealth for a future retirement. They never took a vacation. They never dined out. And yet 1 month before he was to retire, he suffered a stroke and died. You see, they had failed to enjoy and live life daily. Surely there's a need for balance. We need to plan for the future, but we also need to enjoy life today. Jesus put it this way on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 34. "Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil." So the first command in regarding and making the best use of our time is that we must recognize the measure of time. But the second command with reference to time is that we must redeem the moments of time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Here the Apostle Paul is using the language of the marketplace to describe the use of a believer's time. Even as we have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been bought out of the slave market of sin. The Word of God says, since we belong to the Lord now, and He's granted us freedom and love and grace, we are to now make the best use of our time, recognizing that even the usage of our time has been redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we live for the Lord? Because He has redeemed us, and it took the precious blood of the only begotten Son of God to save us. We are also to live for the Lord because the days are evil. As the church age closes, wickedness will increase. We need to make full use of the freedoms that we have. I look at the United States of America since September the 11th, 2001, and I've seen tragedies. I've seen worldwide terrorism. And yet I also see the danger of us losing our civil liberties because of the grave dangers that are facing us. Oh, we need to give the gospel out and walk in wisdom while there is yet opportunity and make the best use of our time. Oh, we need to give the gospel out while there's yet opportunity to people that need to hear the truth of God's Word. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time." The word walk is composed of two Greek words, peri and pateo. The idea, the word perimeter, peri, means the circumference. The circumference of our walk, the circumference of our lives needs to be well-pleasing unto the Lord. Our lives need to be characterized by wisdom, which is the practical application of God's Word to our day-to-day lives. Oh, it's essential in being a witness to the unsaved that we be walking in wisdom. You know, it's been estimated that in the average life of 70 years, time would be used up as follows. A total of 3 solid years is involved in education, 4 years involved in eating, 5 years involved in transportation, 4 years in conversation, 14 years in working, 3 years in reading, 10 years watching television. That's considering 4.5 hours of television per day. Can you believe that's the national average? 24 years involved in sleeping and 3 years in convalescing. Yes, we must, as believers, redeem the moments of our time. You know, there are three major areas that we should redeem the moments of our time. We must redeem our time for God. We must redeem our time for our families. And we must redeem our time for the church. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, we'll notice that we must first of all redeem our time for God. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment." Oh, the first and foremost commandment is to love the Lord God with all of our hearts. And if we truly love the Lord our God with all of our heart, then we're going to seek to use our time most effectively for Him in service. Sometimes we hear ourselves say, "I don't have time." You know, Jesus had 24 hours to His day, 86,400 seconds. And yet He was able to say in John chapter 17, "I have finished the work that Thou hast given Me to do. My food is to do the will of Him that sent Me." Oh, if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we must redeem our time for God. Secondly, we must redeem our time for our families. Husbands, you need to take time with your wives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul made the observation regarding one that is married. "He that is married cares for the things that are his wife, that he might please his wife." Now, that is not any type of condemnation or condemnatory statement, but it is simply stating that a man has a responsibility to care for his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 puts it this way, "Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Our wives are a stewardship that have been entrusted unto us men. We need to redeem time for our families. I think of 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, "If any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And I believe that implies physical provision, but also the spiritual provision as well. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, the Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And the one flesh relationship takes time. It takes effort. It takes intimate communication to make a marriage work. Someone said marriages are made in heaven, but the maintenance is our responsibility here on earth. So if we're going to redeem the moments of our time, we need to do it for God. We must do it for our families. Husbands are to redeem time for the care of their wives. But the wife also is to take time for her husband. The older women in the church, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, are to give instruction to the younger women in the church. And it says in verse 4, that they may teach the young women. Notice the priorities of young women and homes today. How contrary to the philosophy of cosmopolitan and the philosophy of so many women today in the media. Notice that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, we need to make sure that we are stewards of our time, ladies. Then also, parents are to have time for their children. I think of the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives, especially to fathers, as he says, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, sometimes we as parents, sometimes we as dads are so busy, we come home in a rage, and the only communication we have with our children is yelling and screaming and saying what's wrong, and only that will provoke their wrath. But notice, the Word of God says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The phrase bring them up, ektrepho in the Greek, means to nourish them. It was used of growing plants and fertilizing the soil. I've even seen some people talking to their plants for their well-being. We as parents, we as dads are to help bring them up and cultivate them. It talks about raising them, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is where we get the word discipline from. We are to teach our children the disciplines of life in schedule and in bodily exercise and in the keeping of the priorities of the Word of God in their lives. And then it says, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. We as parents have that obligation. The word admonition is the Greek word that means to place in their minds. And that which we are to place in their minds is not television viewing, where individuals use the television as a babysitting agency. But no, we are to implant in their minds the Word of God that they might be able to grow. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. So not only must we redeem the moments of our time for God and for our homes, but also we must redeem the time for our church. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. May God give us men and women in our homes that will say like Joshua of old, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, if all of us were faithful in the house of the Lord and used our spiritual gifts as Christians in the local body of believers, there would be no vacancies in our Sunday school. There would be no vacancies in teaching staff. Be no vacancies in vacation Bible schools and in the choir and in the ministry of our spiritual gifts. Oh, the house of the Lord would thrive and the Word of God would prosper. J.C. Penney once made the statement that he practiced faithful church attendance, Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, evening service, and Wednesday prayer service. He further stated, if you have too much business to attend church regularly, then you have too much business. You know, there's a third command regarding making the best use of your time, and that is, we must refuse to postpone God's appointment for our lives. Oh, God has an appointment. The Word of God says it's an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Philippians 2:8 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You see, the issue is not, will you ever confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? The issue is, when will you confess it? If you wait till you stand before Him in eternity, it'll be too late. It's whether you have received Christ as personal Savior in this life that will determine whether or not you go to be with Him in heaven. Someone said yesterday's a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, but today is the only cash on hand that we have. There's nothing that you can do about yesterday's opportunities, and you don't know if you'll breathe another breath 5 minutes from now, but you do know that you're living now. Won't you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Concerning the brevity of life, someone wrote, "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone." You only have one life to offer. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die tonight and you do not have assurance that you would be in home with the Lord, won't you bow your head or your heart this morning and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that sinner's prayer with me? Make my words your words in sincerity and truth. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm lost. I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. I believe that you died on the cross that I might have everlasting life, and you took my sins on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that you would save me. I believe that you died on the cross and paid the price for my sins, that you were buried and you rose again the third day, and that you're coming again, and I want to be ready. Help me to live my life by your power and your Spirit to redeem my time. And Lord, take the years that the locusts have eaten and restore unto me the vibrant, abundant life that you promise to those who receive you as personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May God bless you. And if you've received Christ as personal Savior this morning or in the hearing of this broadcast, you contact us in the information now that will be shortly given unto you. And we would love to rejoice with you. And remember, for those who love Him and serve Him, the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.